morning. Welcome. For our abundance, we are thankful. For each other, we are thankful. For the freedom of to worship, we are thankful. Come, let us now give thanks and praise our God. And once again, welcome. It's kind of a chilly morning. It's getting that time of year. Thanksgiving's this Thursday, so the weather's going to cool down. So the first thing on the agenda, of course, is the announcements. And the first thing is the ritual friendship card, and you'll find those in back of the pews. And if you, visiting or anybody, just fill them out. And if you have a prayer concern, you can put it on there, and it's very helpful to the minister and the staff. The calendar, minister's office hours are there. This is the back of the bulletin. Of course, Thursday's Thanksgiving. And Friday, Jackie will be in the office in the morning. Work days, November 24th, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Extra hands are always welcome. Senior youth group today, they will be making pepperoni rolls and will be selling them Sunday, November 29th. And of the last thing on the back page, Thanksgiving Festival of Choirs at Wesley United Methodist tonight at 6 p.m. Reverend Chris will be preaching the message, and our choir will be singing. And I believe right now Roxanne has a stewardship message.
Good morning. Gracious givers, we are accountable. The need for us to be accountable is well illustrated in the parable of the talents found in Matthew 25:14-13. Three servants were entrusted with a lot of money before their master went on a journey. One servant was given five talents, one two, and one. They were given a period of time to put those funds to work. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The servants knew the master would return from his trip, and they would have to give an account of the money given to them. There would be a day of judgment. An accounting of their responsibilities. Two servants were very faithful and went out and invested their talents wisely, and they heard the words that we all want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. For those who do well, the accounting is a time for rejoicing. If a man is able to turn his talents from 5 into 10, he is praised for doing good work. The parable is truly a picture of life itself. We are born into this world with certain talents and abilities which we do not choose. There are gifts from outside of us, talents from God. Each of us is given a period of time in which to use these talents. It is our lifespan. Then at the end and beyond death comes judgment, an accounting to render our days upon earth. As stewards, we understand our need to be responsible in our stewardship because we know that at some time we will be held accountable. Our accountability provides an encouragement for us to use our time, our talents, our treasures faithfully and properly. Accountability does not imply hard work and effort. It conveys our responsibilities not to take our tasks lightly. However, we know that God is always with us, and with his help and strength, we can accomplish much. We are accountable to God because he is the creator and the owner of all. We become his stewards because he has chosen to entrust us with his love, his grace, and his mercy, for which we are to render faithful and wise service. As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "Now it is required of those who have been given a trust to prove faithful." Jesus' words were recorded in Luke 12:48, a saying, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." God, who loves us and who calls us by each by name, will enable us to be faithful and accountable stewards. And with that being said, I joyfully stand here and tell you that it is December and we are in the black. That is amazing. So, you know, I've stood before you on previous years and we've been hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars in the hole at the end of the year. This is December and we still are in the black. Not by much, but in the black nonetheless. So we would like to end that year. We'd like to stay there. And if I am correct, we have an insurance payment due this month, correct? So although we are still in the black, we have to make sure that our giving is maintained this month so that once we make that insurance payment, we will end this year in the black, that and we will be able to start our stewardship campaign and our new fiscal year with just the current responsibilities that we need and not trying to make up for a deficit from this year. So congratulations to all of you. We are in the black. Let's continue to do so, and thank you for your time.
Thanks, Rock. Before there are two inserts in the bulletin, and the first one, the pink one, is for the Christmas poinsettias. And if you have, if you want to buy one or given a memory or an honor of anyone, you can do that. And also, there's a blue insert. It's that time of year, time to deck the halls, and that's Saturday, November 28th. That's this coming Saturday, 9:30 to 12 p.m., and we will decorate the sanctuary, dining room, hallway, and classrooms. And if there's any children, they must be accompanied by a parent. And if you're willing to help, please fill out and send to the office this blue insert. Thank you. Are there any other announcements? Okay, Teresa. Okay. Okay, thanks, Teresa. Are there any other announcements? Okay. Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is a great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and our minds to worship Him. Comes together to serve God in worship. The opening hymn this morning is in the Chalice Hymnal, Come Ye Thankful People Come, number 718. Please stand. worship is a responsive reading in your chimes. Let us exalt before God. Let us be jubilant with joy.
We will sing to God. We will sing praises to God's name.
Let us lift up a song to Him, the one who rides upon the clouds. Let's bow now for the invocation, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Your power and majesty, God, are far beyond our ability to comprehend or even to imagine. And it is good for us to leave behind for a time our preoccupation with the mundane. Enable us, we pray, during this hour of worship, to catch just a glimpse of your glory, to experience just a taste of your love, and to be amazed at just a hint of your majesty. As the Lord taught us to pray, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. When presented with glad and generous hearts, our offerings represent our very lives offered in God's service. Let us honor God by giving our tithes and offerings. The offertory hymn this morning in a chalice hymnal, verses 1, 2, 3, and 5 of number 56, For the Beauty of the Earth. Thank you.
We are honored to be counted among your disciples, learning from you and serving you with what we have and what we are. Amen.
Thank you. The community proclaims the word of God. The first scripture reading this morning is Malachi, verses 1 through 6, and 4, verses 4 through 6 in the Old Testament. That's on page 889. Here begins the reading. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of God, Jacob, have not perished. Remember the teaching of my servant Moses, the statutes and ordinances that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Lo, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents, so that I will not come and strike the land with a curse. The word of the Lord. The anthem this morning is Give Thanks by the Sanctuary Choir. Thank you.
In Psalm 95 we read, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Sometimes when you don't feel like praying, or you're consumed with needing to speak to the Lord, but you can't gather the words, try that old standby. Count your many blessings. Count them one by one. It's amazing how you can get carried away from worries and woes and self-concern when you start naming out loud what you're thankful for. Right away, your focus shifts from your needs to the Father's graciousness and love.
the Christian Church of Connellsville on this Thanksgiving Sunday. As we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing, we rejoice and give thanks for all that God has given us and is doing for us. For the very fact of life and the wondrous beauty of our world. We also want to give thanks for those who share their gifts for behalf of the Lord. We give thanks for those who help to make our worship service go and to make our church go, especially this time of year when we work on our budget and our slate of officers. Our selection committee will be getting started soon. You may be getting a call from Jackie Henry, who will be heading that up. And also at a time when all of our programs are in full bloom, we continue to go with Kids Club and MOPS and Coffee House. And with our youth groups, we have a lot going on in the life of our church. We rejoice and give thanks. Let's also give thanks for our choir as they continue to regale us with wonderful song and music. And they also will be singing at the Thanksgiving Festival of Choirs this evening. So I hope that you will come to hear them. We can never get enough of our choir. Let's give thanks to them again. And let us also give thanks then for this opportunity, for this house of worship, for this time that we have to come together as children of God to give thanks for all that God is doing. We have a number of requests on our prayer list, and also this past week I've been asked by a few people if I know of a way in which people can help with the refugee crisis in Syria, an organization to give to, and the answer now, as always, is Week of Compassion. Week of Compassion is the outreach arm of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. They are all around the world. They are in all places. They are helping in Greece as they deal with refugees there. They are helping those who are being settled here. They are helping wherever you can imagine there is need. So if you have a desire to give for that cause, you can just write a check and have it in your memo, Week of Compassion. Always there, our go-to organization. Wherever there is a disaster, a humanitarian problem, or a relief effort, Week of Compassion is all year long. Their slogan goes all around the world. We've also been asked to pray for a neighbor of Peggy. Peggy Harvey's had a bad week or two. Her mother-in-law, Sally, passed away last week. We were praying for her. But also her mother's neighbor, Jesse Zitney, died. And we want to pray then for her, the family of Jesse Zitney. Neighbor Peggy Harvey. We've also been asked to pray for Carol Heinebaugh, who's battling cancer. And also we continue to pray for Diana Schuckhart, who is at Forbes Regional Hospital. I was able to visit with her on Thursday, and she was a little responsive, and my understanding is that she's less responsive now. So we need to pray for her especially more. Are there other joys and concerns we want to share with one another? People we need to add to our prayer list? Anybody we want to update on our prayer list this morning? Thanksgivings also to give to God. Don? Pray for Delbert Hall, who's battling a blood infection. Pray for Delbert Hall. Thank you. Teresa? Big 4-0 this Wednesday. Thank you very much. Very blessed. It's been wonderful. I've been your minister for 12 and a half years. People seem to think I came here 2 years ago. The time has gone. We've had so much fun. But thank you very much. And this is my second 39th birthday this week. I enjoy it. Are there any others? for sharing that. Thank you. Seeing none, Mike? Amen to that. When Mike first came to the church, everyone asked me if I knew who the Lichty's friend was. It was just a natural fit there. Yes. Kathy. Praise God. What is his name? Ron Jetson. Rejoice with that wonderful news. That is great news. Thank you for sharing that. Deb. Yeah, so a prayer for travel, and not just for work, but of course with Thanksgiving coming up, there'll be a lot of family traveling. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yes. Indeed, it is a wonderful blessing. We give thanks for the junior youth group, for led by Janice and Cheryl, and I know that the children had a great time. Thank you for all your work, and I pray that they'll be blessing. I'm sure they'll be a blessing for those who receive them when they do. See, none other, let's now take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, you have given us all things. You have given us minds for thinking and hearts for feeling, a soul for connecting with you. We're thankful for the blessing of material things and for wealth and clothes, but especially for family and friends. We're thankful for these and the gift of life, which in your grace you have given us that we might be in relationship with you, that we may know you, that we may love you, that we may walk with you all our days. As we give thanks for our own life, we pray that life will be sustained for those who are ill, in the hospital, in flight, in need. We've lifted up all of our prayer concerns this morning, and you hear them. Let us name them again as we pray for Delbert Hall battling an infection, as we pray for Diana Shuckhart fighting for her life in the hospital, as we pray for Carol Heinebaugh battling cancer, and we rejoice on the good news that we've received, for those whose lives have been healed and have been strengthened, for the return of Ron Jensen to his home after his battle with leukemia, and we pray that it will continue to go well and healing will continue to come. We rejoice. We pray that the life of our church will be deepened through your Spirit, through your presence, through our connection to it. Whatever we do, whether we worship, pray, fellowship, work, eat, all that we do in your name. Draw us closer together as your family. Help us better to witness to your love and to your word in this world. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to work with other churches in the choir festival this evening, that we may together be a united witness to your love. May we not sacrifice our souls, Lord, to what is plentiful on this earth, but to your call for our ministry together. We pray these things in the safety of this church, in the warmth of this congregation. We pray for those who do not have such luxuries, for those who are poor and downtrodden, for those who are homeless, for those who are running for their life. We pray that your Spirit will be with them to guide them, to lift them up, and that you will open our eyes to how we may be a part. For we know that we are not called simply to pray that you do all the work, but you call us to work with you. And we know, Lord, that all that we do, your Spirit will be with us, and we give thanks. We give thanks that you have given us all the help we need, all the strength we will need, all the courage we will ever need through your Son, Jesus Christ, who embodied all of these things and more. As he brought your love to this world and your grace to this world, as he helped to bring your message to this world, to teach it to your children in a whole new way, we are still learning. Still struggling to live out these commands. Still figuring out how to walk in the way. May we never become discouraged. May we never beat ourselves up too much for stumbling. But may we never get to the point where we believe we don't have to try in the first place. That we are baptized in your Spirit, saved by your grace and mercy, still you call us to act and to be your hands and arms and legs in this world. Lift us up when we faint, Lord. Strengthen us when we are worried. Calm our minds when we are scared. For you are all the things we need in this world. And for this Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer above all, we give you thanks. Let us adore you, cherish you, and let us give back to the world what you have given us. In your name we pray. Amen. The children come forward for the junior sermon. Good morning, good morning. Come on. I don't know if there's more or not. How's everyone today? Good. Are you excited for Thanksgiving? Come on down, come on down. Do you guys like Thanksgiving dinner? Now, you're not sounding too excited, but did you just say it was the best dinner in the world? Yeah, see, you didn't sound excited, but I was very excited. Let me see. You like turkey? What else do you like? What else do you like? Mashed potatoes. What do you like? You like what? Mashed potatoes? Eggs. Eggs? That's Easter. Okay. Your Grammy always makes eggs? You guys got a translation? Pancakes! Pancakes. Okay. Well, how about you, Kelsey? What do you like for Thanksgiving? Pie. I got two votes for turkey, two votes for mashed potatoes, two votes for pie. Noodles and turkey. Corn. And I like the stuffing, and I'm glad you mentioned the gravy, because then you just take the gravy and you pour it over everything. Not the pie, though. And it's really good. Now, do you think it would be great if we had Thanksgiving every day? Yeah. Yeah? Hold on a second. Those of you who said yes, why? It's like the best dinner all year long, and then you would get to eat it every day. Yes. You get to eat so many mashed potatoes. Oh, I didn't think about the fact that you don't go to school. That's right, because if it were Thanksgiving every day, you wouldn't go to school. So I can understand why you would have Thanksgiving every day. Now, I heard someone say no. Why? You don't know. Okay, so here's the thing. Couple things. Good points here, right? Okay, one, if you had Thanksgiving every day, it would get a little boring, right? Like, it wouldn't be so exciting to have all that food anymore because you have it all the time. Two, I know it's exciting that you would never go to school, but you kind of do need to go to school, right? It would be bad if you... Okay, one more thing. Yes. Okay, yes. And if you had it every day, you'd get a bellyache and you wouldn't get Christmas. That's another good point. Also, I want you to keep in mind this. Your parents, do you think Thanksgiving dinner is free?
No.
No, your parents would go broke, like, in a month if they had Thanksgiving dinner every day, or your grandma or whoever makes it. Yeah. One more point. Did you have something to say? Well, listen, you can't have Thanksgiving dinner every day, okay? One of the reasons that's so great is because
you don't have it every day,
right? That's what makes it special, isn't it, Brody? If you had it every day, it would be kind of boring. You'd be like, oh, I promise you that, like, maybe like a month into it, you'd be like, not turkey again. Oh, no. Not mashed potatoes again. I'm so tired of pumpkin pie. Please, can't we have cereal? That's what would happen. So you can't have Thanksgiving dinner every day, but you know what? You should give thanks every day. Right? Because that's what Thanksgiving is about, right?
The food is great.
But it's the giving thanks that matters the most, right? And that's what we need to do every day. Did you know that Jesus once healed 10 people? 10 people who were sick. And do you know how many people came back to say thank you to him? One. And so he healed those other 9 people, and the one person came back that said thank you. He said, 10 people were healed. What happened to the other 9? He said, your faith has made you well, to the one who said thank you. Okay? Now, what did he even mean by that? Because they're all healed, but only the one who said thank you. Well, here's the thing. If you got everything you wanted, would you be happy? Would you want more? What if what you want is $100? If you got it, would you want 101? Yeah, I think you would. Yeah, if it's money, you want more. If it's like 2 video games and you got them, you'd want 3, right? I think you might. Maybe you don't, but it's kind of human nature to always want more. It's really important that we give thanks for a lot of reasons, but especially because it helps us to be content and happy. Because people who don't give thanks, no matter what they get, they're not going to be happy. I bet you those people who were healed that didn't say thank you to Jesus, I bet they went off on their life and something else happened. They got
something else bad happened.
Yeah, they didn't call on Jesus then, or they didn't have Jesus then. One guy who came back and said thank you, I bet you, when Jesus said your faith has made you well, I bet what he was saying to him is that you will enjoy your health much more than them. Have you ever been thankful and it made you appreciate what you had? That's really what it's about. And I don't know if you heard Wanda when she was talking about before our hymn, that when you give thanks, it turns your whole outlook around, right? It doesn't give you more things, but it makes you happier what you have. So I hope that you'll give thanks every day, even if you don't have turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing for dinner. If you do give thanks every day, it will seem like whatever you get for dinner, even if it's like one of your least favorite types of food, if you really are thankful, it'll taste a lot better than it did before. All right. Thank you. You can go to your class now. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 18. Verses 33 to 37. That's found in the New Testament portion of your Pew Bible on page 113. Here begins the reading. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew. Am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So are you king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into this world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As As we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we are mindful of the fact that we do have a great deal to be thankful for. We have our families who love us and support us most of the time, our friends who share our joys and sorrows with us most of the time, our homes which keep us warm and comfortable most of the time, our neighborhoods where we come together to create community. Nothing is perfect. Nothing is perfect. If we wait for everything to be perfect to give thanks, then we never will. But even when things are imperfect, they are still very good, and we should give thanks. We have good food and good clothes, cars that work well enough most of the time, and material blessings that many people in the world do not have. And while we all struggle with our health from time to time, we all know someone whose health is far worse than ours. So all these things and so many more, we lift in thankful praise to our God, the author and giver, the author of life and giver of all good things. And I bet if you actually stopped to count your blessings, as Wanda had encouraged us, you would find that the counting would never stop. I mean, we really do take things for granted. If you wash your hands with hot water, you should give thanks. Not only do there are lots of people throughout the world who still don't have that, it is a very recent thing for people to have. So much of what we have, 99% of the world's population did not have until the last 100 years or so. We are truly blessed, even if sometimes it feels like we don't have enough. The blessings that God has given us are not the first blessings that God has bestowed upon God's people or creation. Indeed, they began at the very beginning and have continued on down through the ages. As we have seen, as we have read throughout the Bible, God has done many great things upon the earth, the first of which is creating the earth, the heavens, and the stars in the first place. First, God created the heavens, the earth, out of nothing, save Noah from the flood. From him came Abraham, who was God's chosen, and from whom all of Israel came, one man and one woman who were very up in age. We get an entire nation. God led Abraham to the promised land, delivered his descendants from slavery in Egypt, returned them to the promised land. There God shaped a nation out of nomadic tribes when a young shepherd by the name of David defeated Goliath and the Philistines and then became king. God watched over the people, calling them to righteousness and mercy, demanding justice and humility. And when they very often turned away or forgot, he still called to them in their exile and again returned them to the promised land. All the words of the former prophets were fulfilled. Israel was conquered by its enemies and scattered, yet God's mercy endured forever, and the people once again returned, rebuilt their temple, lived again as God's chosen people. All of this sets the stage for our first reading of today from the prophet Malachi. Malachi is one of the later prophets, one of the last books of the Old Testament, written at the very end of the exile. The people had very much to be thankful for indeed. Returned to their homeland, able to worship God in their own land and in their own way. Not entirely free, there were still the Persians now who ruled over them, but much kinder to them and less interfering than the Greeks and the Romans before. So they were safe. Under Persian protection, their rituals and beliefs were not threatened. They were prosperous. No longer having to constantly fight wars, they were able to grow many crops and livestock. Where Israel is and was, they call it the Fertile Crescent. It is one of the most fertile areas in the world and right in the middle of a desert. And so people were always trying to get to it. Or they were trying to go through Israel to get to the country they really wanted to conquer. So Israel was always having trouble and difficulty, but now they had an era of peace and prosperity they had not known in quite some time. While they were receiving these blessings, they are also becoming complacent. How often is it the case that the better off we are, the more we forget God, the more likely we are to forget God? How often is it the case that the worse off we are, we then remember him most dearly? It is true that you do not realize that God is all you need until God is all you have. So if you're not at that point, if you're not at that rock bottom point, give thanks, because you're doing better than you could be. But if you are doing better than you could be, also be sure not to forget God. because the Israelites at this time had begun to take their status as God's chosen people for granted. If they were God's chosen people, they could basically do what they wanted. God was on their side. They were no longer thrilled to have their temple back. Some people complained that it wasn't as nice as the old temple. They cut corners in their sacrifices. They no longer sacrificed their best animal to God, but saved it for themselves. Turned a blind eye to abuse of the vulnerable and to idolatry, and forgot that when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. Love them as yourselves, for you are foreigners in Egypt, as their scriptures taught them. In short, they had forgotten the law of Moses, long as it was, and they had forgotten their obligations to it. So while the people in the time of Malachi had much to be thankful for, they could also be thankful that God had not forgotten the covenant and that God's anger was slow to build. For God's love endures forever, and his wrath is slow to build. God could have promised to punish them as he did during the exile. When the great prophets of the past spoke, like Isaiah and Ezekiel, they brought hard words, words that were difficult to hear, that spoke of God using other nations as punishment for their idolatry and sinfulness. God could have sent the prophet Malachi, whose name means my messenger, with just such a message. Indeed, Malachi's oracle claims that the truly wicked will be judged and condemned, but the complacent, the lukewarm, the average person will not meet such an end. He states that God promises to send Elijah, the great prophet of old. He will send him to welcome in the great and terrible day of the Lord. That's how it is described, the great and terrible day of the Lord, when the arrogant and the evildoers will be stubble and the righteous rewarded. Today, even on today, when Jewish people celebrate the Passover meal, they always leave a chair empty for the prophet Elijah to come. That is their hope, and that is why people believe that John the Baptist was Elijah returned. Malachi's words here are very similar to the other prophets, very similar to Amos and Jeremiah. He splits the people into opposite and competing factions. The wicked and the righteous, the sheep and the goats, the punished and the rewarded. Simple and concise. Also too easy. After all, who among us is truly righteous? Who among us is purely evil, with no hope of redemption? Who is truly righteous with no need of repentance? The human condition includes good and bad, the divine and the demonic, the beautiful and the ugly. It is now, and it did in Malachi's time as well. We have our polls, right? If Hitler was truly evil and Mother Teresa is purely good, then pretty much everybody else in the world fits somewhere in between. What of that grand gulf of humanity then? What will happen to them when the great day, the great and terrible day of the Lord comes? So Malachi goes a little bit different route than other prophets. You can kind of sense that this is the beginning of preparing for the Messiah. In fact, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. It is the last word we hear before we jump into the gospel. He gives the people an image of hope, an image of joy, an image that really is quite radical for the large, muddled masses of Malachi's time, and hope and joy for the middle-of-the-road Christian today. He describes the messenger that God is sending like a furnace, but not a furnace to burn people up, as some of the other imagery we get in the Old Testament, but a furnace to refine. He exclaims, "Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness." It's a pretty powerful image there. He's talking about refining gold and silver. But you know, when I was growing up in the Ohio Valley, in Wheeling, West Virginia, there were a lot of refineries there as well. And there was one in particular in Follansbee, West Virginia, about 10 miles up the river. And, you know, the sky in West Virginia is dark at night. You get to see the stars. My friend came from New York City to go to college, and I remember one time driving back to college, she had made us pull over because she could not believe how dark the sky was. And she loved it because she could finally see the stars. Well, where I was growing up on top of a hill, you could really see the stars. They were beautiful and bright, except when the Follansbee coke plant was blowing at full force. Because whenever it was, up along the Ohio River, a good 10 or so miles away, it made the entire sky glow orange, sort of like the Aurora Borealis for the Ohio Valley. Now, the Follansbee coke plant, like other coke plants, burned hard bituminous coal, and intense heat from the furnace purifies the coal, stripping away everything that is not elemental. So that what you have then is coke. What that is then is purified coal. And I'm sure you probably know that coming from Connellsville, where the coke ovens roared as well. The purpose is to strip away the sulfur, strip away the dirt, strip away the salt and the trace metals. Anything that isn't pure as carbon is burned away. And the coal was refined so that it can be forged with iron and made into the hardest steel. The messenger that God sends is like that fire. It doesn't burn us up or consume us. It strips away from us everything that is not pure. God's messenger strips away our covetousness, our deceit, our greed, our selfishness, our fear. God's messenger burns away exploitation of others, jealousy of those who have more, anger at those who have wronged us that we cannot forgive. And it molds us with the divine so that we lowly human beings will be holy in the eyes of the Lord. I kind of have to believe that this is something like what will happen to us when we die, because it's hard for me to believe that we, as we are, would reside in heaven with God. And I wouldn't want to. I hope that this is the most accurate description. I want these things to be burned away. I want to be refined. Sometimes when the air was thick and humid in Wheeling, when the heat of the summer, I would drive alongside the river along a lonely road and the air would glow that bright orange. It would smell something worse than awful. I can smell it right now as I'm saying it to you. I felt like I was in the middle of the apocalypse. I thought that this must be what the end of the world really looks like. And I think it's an appropriate image, because what Malachi is talking about is the end of the world in a way. That's what God was promising in Malachi. In effect, God promised to send Elijah to prepare the way for God's messenger who would bring about the end of the world, at least as the people of Malachi's time knew it. Now, initially, whenever you talk about the end of the world, it's something scary, right? Since the world began, many have used the threat of the world ending as a scare tactic. And they threaten that it is the end of all we hold dear. And they have their date set, and when that date's wrong, they either quietly disappear or they set a new date and they start again. The constant barrage of disaster movies that we have in this day, Volcano, Day of Destruction, The Day After Tomorrow, they indicate that the fear of apocalypse is still heavy in our minds. As people are busy being scared in theaters, more than one church has used this tactic to scare people into going to church as well. No one wants to be left behind. So they turn to God out of fear of what God will do to them, rather than out of gratitude for what God has already done for them. But in Malachi, what God was promising to do to them was a great and wonderful thing. God was promising the end of the world as they knew it, and this is something different than merely the end of the world. Yes, the truly wicked would be brought to justice, and the truly good rewarded, but God has a message for everyone in between, and that is the refiner's fire waits for them. Not to hurt them, not to punish them, but to strip them of all that is making them impure, to make them better, pure, more holy. The refiner's fire awaits to strip away all the pain and the suffering of the world they once knew as well. Strip away our hurt, our loss, our grief. I can't wait to have those things burned away. This image in Malachi reminds me of one of my favorite songs. It's titled, "It's the End of the World as We Know It," and in parentheses, "I Feel Fine." And I never understood that. I thought that was a very strange way of saying it. The singer sings at the edge of the apocalypse and is thrilled for what is coming, not because it's the end of the world, but because it's the end of the world as we know it. That is what God is promising here. Not the destruction of joy, but the end of sorrow. Not the elimination of life, but the defeat of death. It's not the end of our life, but the beginning of our transformation, the beginning of our new life. Promise that God will send a messenger to purify us is the end of the world as I know it, and I feel really good about that. As we see here today on the Sunday of Thanksgiving, let us remember that God chose not to punish all people equally with the wicked. Instead, God bestowed grace and mercy upon the people and the world. And we are still trying to figure it out. Malachi leaves this message It's a couple hundred years before Christ comes, and it's a couple thousand years until our day. And we still need that mercy and grace now more than ever. We are told to give thanks for small mercies, but on this Thanksgiving Sunday, let us also make sure to give a grateful thanks for the largest mercy of all. The refiner's fire that Christ came to bring, that his grace has bestowed upon us. If we have nothing else, that is more than enough. So let us give thanks. And now as we come to the conclusion of our stewardship emphasis, today we're going to give back as well. You have in your bulletin, if you have not already handed one in, a pledge card. And they're by now very familiar to you. In a moment, we're going to take an offering of just the pledge cards before we have our communion. And if you haven't had a chance to fill yours out, please take a time now to think of what you'll be able to pledge to give back to the church, that we may continue to preach God's word and to stand in God's place in this world for the coming year. As always, you write down how much you think you can give per week, month, or year, and circle the one that you have. Write the name and date and keep one for your records. This money goes to the current fund of the church, which pays for our operations, not for our missions. That's a separate thing. Pledges are guesses. They are estimates. They are not a legally binding contract, so please do not feel intimidated by that. But they just help our budget committee, who will meet next week. You, of course, don't have to make a pledge. Many people do not, but it helps us. We had 26 pledges last year. We really would like to have 40 this year just to get a better idea. And certainly, if you are a visitor today, then please simply offer your prayers to us this morning. And now, let us have the offering of pledges. Gracious God, we give you thanks with a grateful heart for all in which you have blessed us. For all that you have given us, we know that we are stewards of your gifts. We give thanks for these pledges that help to continue the life of your church and the stewardship of your church for another year. May your blessings go with these pledges, with these actions, and with these people, this day and all days, until we together are with you. Amen. And now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to take and partake of the Lord's Supper. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn today is number 528, Give Thanks. has said that the pilgrims built seven times as many graves as they built huts, and yet they, as impoverished as they were and as troubled as they were, set aside a day to give thanks. And I think they did so because they understood that thankfulness was the key to prosperity. Not that we should give thanks so that we could get more stuff, but that we should give thanks so that we could find true happiness, contentment, and gratitude. I think that's an important lesson for us as we sit here immeasurably wealthier than they and safer than they. We have a great deal for which to give thanks. And yet, we confess that our days are often spent complaining about our health, our bills, or simply not having what we want. That's why it's essential that we take time all the time to give thanks, to thank God for all that we've received, but especially for what God has done for us, is doing for us, and has promised to do for us. The promise of eternal life is the greatest blessing we shall ever receive. For this, above all things, we should give thanks. I believe that's why Jesus Christ, on the night before he was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. Though he knew what was to come, though he knew what was to happen to him, still he gave thanks for the love of God who sent him not to condemn the world but to save it. He gave thanks for a God who was concerned for every human soul. Can we do anything else but give thanks for that? Now this morning, let us pray.
Father, as we gather on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, it is easy to look around and see so many things that we are not thankful for. We live in a world where violence seems to be escalating, where people appear to be more self-absorbed than ever, and where so many do not demonstrate your love, compassion, and mercy. Yet, Father, if we open our hearts more fully, we also see you everywhere, in small daily acts of kindness and caring, in the patience and love of family and friends, and in the selfless acts of dedication to your work in our community. We are grateful for all that you have blessed us with. We pray that we may be a blessing to others. Father, help us to plant seeds that will bear a bountiful harvest for your kingdom. Amen.
For a hand on to you, it was also handed on to me. Then on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. After having blessed it, he gave thanks and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. And after he blessed it, he poured it out. And said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Now the community responds to the word of God. If any gather here wishes to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, we dedicate your life to God or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation. We invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is a solo by Ken Metzger, Bless This House. And we'll only have Ken stand while he sings. For the benediction. Give thanks to God in all that you do. For all that you have, for every moment of your lives, God provides you with every blessing so that you may share it abundantly with all the world. It is all His. Enjoy it together. Amen.